Thank you, worship team, for helping us out, leading us into the presence of the Lord. And guess what? It's Palm Sunday weekend. Happy Palm Sunday weekend. You know, that's when they laid the palm branches down before Jesus as he came into Jerusalem. And it reminds me that, you know, we don't come just to lay our coats down or to lay branches down, but we're called to lay our lives down before Jesus as we give him our lives, as we follow him. And Easter's almost here, just a week away, and we'll be celebrating Easter with our families. I wonder if you remember hearing about the little boy that was in the Easter play, and he had one line, but he had a hard time remembering that line, and so his mom was sitting in the front row, and it came the point for his line, and he couldn't remember it, and so she's kind of like trying to prompt him and help him, and she's mouthing the line. And he just wasn't getting it, so she finally leaned forward and she whispered it. She said, "I am the light of the world." And the little boy stood up, happy and confident, and in a loud, clear voice, he said, "My mom is the light of the world." I like that. We're looking at the I am statements of Jesus. There's seven of them that we find in the Gospel of John, all of them in the Gospel of John. We started last week with, "I am the bread of life." Now, these statements not only reveal to us things about Jesus' identity, but they help us to shape our identity as we follow Christ in our lives. And that's good to keep in mind. Our lives are transformed as we learn not just about what Jesus has done, but we learn about who he is. And we learn about that in these I am statements, and they're in Jesus' own words. And so this week we're going to launch from one verse in John chapter 8, John chapter 8, verse 12. And it says this, it says, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" Now, if you remember last week, or if you weren't here, this is to let you know that when Jesus said, "I am," his listeners, mostly Jewish listeners, would understand that he was actually claiming equality with God. He was claiming to be God in the way that he phrased these statements when he said, "I am." Now, by way of introduction, I want to just kind of connect for you the amazing ways that light connects to God and to the Son of God in the Scriptures. All right, so Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." But let's look all the way back. Here's the first point under the introduction. In Genesis and Revelation, light connects to God in creation and recreation. Now, notice there's a dash there. It's not recreation. It's recreation. Okay, all the way back to the first chapter of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." So you notice the first thing that happens in the first book of the Bible, in the first chapter of the Bible, in the first three verses of the Bible, the first thing that God does as a creative act that it gets recorded in Scripture is he creates light. The first thing that comes out from the Lord's mouth, "Let there be light." Now, we understand that in the creation narrative, it's Jesus that is the creator. You might say, "Well, where do you get that from?" Well, you get it from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, where John says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 3 of the first chapter of the Gospel of John, it says, "Through him all things were made." And we know that this is Jesus because later on in the first chapter of John, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us." And so Jesus Christ is the Word, is the one that spoke the Word, "Let there be light," in this creative act. Now, Go to the end of the Bible and the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 21. There's a description of the recreation of the earth, the new heavens and the new earth that are recreated by Jesus Christ. And in Revelation 21, we see that Jesus not only does the recreation, but he is light in the new creation. Jesus is light. Look what it says in Revelation 21, verses 23 to 24. The city, this new Jerusalem, does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The Lamb is referring to Christ. Remember, John the Baptist sees Jesus coming to be baptized, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. So, there's the bookends of the Bible. We see light as a very important part of the scriptural story. Secondly, by way of introduction, throughout the Old Testament, God reveals himself as light, especially in fire. Fire confirms the presence of God, the power of God, the favor of God, the leading of God. In the burning bush, that's where Moses, you know, has this revelation of God in the fire. Also, the Lord led the Israelites for 40 years through the wilderness. And how did he lead them? With a pillar of fire. And so we see that. And then oftentimes in the Old Testament, we see that fire comes down from heaven and consumes the sacrifices. This is God's expression of light and fire. Exodus 13, we see the pillar of fire experience here, verses 21 and 22. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, in a pillar of fire, to do what? To give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. And this pillar of fire would be very practical for the Israelites. It would provide protection from them. I mean, I want you to imagine any other group of people coming up to the Israelites and seeing this pillar of fire that was before them at all times. You don't want to mess with those people, right? It was also very practical because when the fire moved, the people knew it was time for them to move, and they could follow that very easily. It was also very practical because it would light up their campsites. I mean, they were on the grand 40-year camping trip, and the fire of God would give them light. So we see in the Old Testament this revelation of God in light. And then last, by way of introduction, messianic prophecies where they talk about the coming of the Messiah are often connected to light. In Isaiah chapter 9 is one of the most messianic prophecies that we have. You know, this is the one where it talks about the Messiah coming, wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace. And in chapter 9, verse 2 of Isaiah, this is what the prophet says about this Messiah coming. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Later on in the prophetic book of Isaiah in chapter 49, as it's talking about how the Messiah would come through Jacob's family line and how he wouldn't be a Messiah just for the Jews but also for the Gentiles, chapter 49, verse 6, talking about the Messiah, says, "I will also make you a light for the Gentiles so that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." So here we see light throughout the scriptures connected to God and connected to Jesus. So just 2 points as we talk about the light. Jesus is the light of the world. And that's the first point. Jesus is the light of the world. And then the second point is, you are the light of the world. All right, so let's look at the first point. Jesus is the light of the world. As we look at this, let's talk about the significance of the Feast of Tabernacles, the lighting of the four towers. Now, you probably wouldn't catch this unless you really studied it, which I had the opportunity to do over the last week, was study this whole idea of Jesus teaching in the temple, giving this expression saying he was the light of the world. You have to go back to chapter 7, So our main verse is chapter 8, verse 12. If you go back to chapter 7, if you have a Bible, you will see there that the heading is Jesus visits the Feast of Tabernacles. All right? And he is now, when he says, I am the light of the world, he's in the temple during the week that they're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? And so that's the background of him teaching. He's teaching in the temple. What is interesting about the Feast of Tabernacles, it was celebrated every year. As a matter of fact, the Jewish people, even still today, celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. They will in 2021, it's from September 21st to the 27th. And in Hebrew, it's called the Sukkot, which literally translated means booths. And what they would do is they would celebrate the time that God led them through the wilderness and guided them by the pillar of fire and provided food for them for 40 years. So that's what this feast is all about. And so already the people are thinking about this pillar of fire as they're, you know, in this celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. Here's the other cool thing. In the temple at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, they constructed four 75-foot towers. And on top of those towers, they would put a menorah, but not just any menorah, like a candelabra, humongous. And I have a picture. I don't know if it can give you a little bit of perspective. This is what would be placed on top of this 75-foot tower, and there were four of them. And each one was fed by a 65-gallon container of olive oil, and they would light the tops of these menorahs on the tops of these towers for the Feast of Tabernacles. And it was said that it was enough light that people out in the city could actually benefit from the light that was on these towers. This is the setting that Jesus stands up in the temple, because he's standing right by where these towers were. The scripture mentions, actually, in John chapter 8, verse 20, says these words that Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. The treasury would be just right by the court of women, which is where these towers would be. So as Jesus is speaking these words, I am the light of the world, the background is the towers of light. And these towers were an expression of the presence of God. Again, Jesus intimating that he himself was God, that he himself enjoyed the power of God, the presence of God, and the favor of God, just like the pillar of fire. Okay? Here's the next point about Jesus being the light of the world. And I just wanted to pause for a minute and talk about the characteristics of light. So we built a new home a few years ago, and we picked out all the light fixtures for our house. That's the kind of the cool thing and the terrifying thing of building your own house. You have to pick everything out, you know, that you want in the house. And I, for the top of the garage over my driveway, I bought this light fixture that was like spotlights, thinking that, you know, when it was dark out and I needed to do something out in my driveway, these spotlights, I could put them on and it would light up my driveway. Well, I didn't do a very good job picking out good spotlights. And there are these tiny little lights. And when I turn them on, they don't even, I mean, you can't see anything. So in the wintertime, especially when I have to go out and snowblow early in the morning so that we can get out of our driveway, I decided I would go buy a headlamp. So I found this one online. Check this out. I don't want to annoy anybody. This really helps me clear. I wonder what it would do when I point this right at the camera. 300,000 lumens. Can you believe that? So, you know, as we look at this light and talk about this light, there's certain things about the characteristics of light that we can actually relate to God that relate to practical light. For instance, it helps us see. Right? It helps guide the way. That's what light does. You know, I can take, you know, in the dark, my next step is lit up through this flashlight. So it helps us see and it dispels the darkness. I think that that's also a gift of the Word of God, that help, and God can use His Holy Spirit to illuminate us and help us see and understand the Scriptures. That's what the light of Christ does in us through the Holy Spirit. And it dispels darkness. Here's the cool thing about light. Light is stronger than darkness. If you go into a dark room and turn on the light switch, what happens to the darkness? It has no choice but to go away because light is stronger than darkness. You know, if you open up a window shade in a lighted room in your house, the darkness from outside doesn't come in and make the room dark. The light goes out and penetrates into the darkness. So light is stronger than darkness. Light brings attention. Okay, so if I have this on my head and I'm walking down the street or I'm riding a bicycle, or right, people are going to know that I'm there. Light brings attention. And in a positive way, the light of Christ brings attention in our lives. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. It brings warmth. That's what light does. It brings growth. Your plants wouldn't grow without light. Your garden wouldn't grow without light. Light helps emotional health. That's why so many people struggle in Minnesota in the wintertime. We have so much darkness that there's this disorder called seasonal affective disorder because we don't get enough sunshine. The sunshine actually provides vitamin D, which helps our mood. And so in the wintertime, I take extra vitamin D because we don't get enough sun. So light does that. Light reveals truth. You know what else light does? It reveals imperfections. When you got a light on something, you can really see that, you know, when I turn the light on the side of my car, I can see that little rust spot. In the same way, the Holy Spirit illuminates in our lives sometimes ways that we need to change or develop or grow or be corrected. So here's the point under that. It is that as the light of the world, Jesus expresses and personifies these characteristics and qualities for us and around us. And can I tell you what? It especially benefits us when we're going through a hard time. It does. When you're in a place of darkness, and that's the next point. Jesus is an enduring light, even in dark times. And it kind of relates to the pillar of fire in the wilderness. I mean, the wilderness experience was 40 years. And sometimes we get into a wilderness experience in our lives. And it's not a literal walking through the woods and having to camp for many days or weeks or years. But it can be a difficult time that you're in life and you just are just persevering or you're just enduring. And as the light, Jesus, like the pillar of fire, can bring the presence of God and the power of God and the favor of God in your life. Because he is the light of the world. And Jesus said, if we follow him, we would never walk in darkness. I mean, can that be true? Look at what he says in John verse 8. John chapter 8, the second part of verse 12. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. So let me just say this to you. Jesus desires for you and for me to have his light. To live in the light, to walk in the light, to remain in the light. But the enemy of your soul and the circumstances of your life want to dim that, want to dull that, want to darken that, and want to cause you to doubt that. But Jesus said, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. And so what we have to do when we're in those desert or wilderness times, we have to engage our faith. That's when we engage our faith and we say, thank you, Jesus, you're my light. And you want me to walk in the light. You want me to remain in the light. Paul encourages us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And he says this, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So God's light is shining in our hearts. Even in dark times, you engage your faith and you say, God, I believe it. Your light is inside of me. Your light is there to encourage me, to help me, to empower me, to strengthen me. And when you need help and when you need God's guidance and when you're really discouraged, you look to the scripture, you look to the word of God. There's a verse in Psalms that a lot of kids memorize. It's in Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Bible. And most kids and even some adults, they've memorized verse 105 and they never go farther than 105. I'd like to take you farther than 105 and let it encourage you. It goes like this: your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Most people stop there, but don't stop there. Look at verse 106. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, and I will follow your righteous laws. I've suffered much. Who knew that this verse, the context was in suffering? I've suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth. So here's a key for perspective and for assurance and for peace and for lasting joy, that by faith you accept the light of the Lord as he lights your path through the scriptures, even in hard times, and you offer him your life. Jesus is our light, even in and maybe especially in dark times and in the wilderness. Here's the last point under Jesus is the light of the world. Following the light needs to be active and ongoing. Okay? Here's what I mean by that. It's not just a one and done or a one-time decision. Okay? I decided in my life, I made a determined decision back in September of 1976 that I was going to give my life to Jesus and follow him. But it didn't stop on that day in September of 1976. Every day I decide that I'm going to follow Jesus. So when you look again at John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, and we've looked at it before, but let's look at it again, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness but have the light of life. So the word follow there is a verb, and it literally means to accompany all along the way. That's what it means to follow. So if you want to have the light of life, you follow Jesus all along the way. It means you're heading in the same direction in an ongoing, continuous fashion. I'm following Jesus every day. It's not just a Sunday following or a weekend following. Jesus didn't say, I'm the light of the church. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And so we're following Jesus in our path through the world. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, which right away indicates that they're his followers, they're his students. He said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. So here's the question. Is your life lost in Jesus? Every day, moment by moment, are you following him? So how do you actively follow Jesus day by day? Well, I don't know. It's not rocket science. It's pretty obvious. You spend time with him. You spend time in the scriptures. That's God's revelation to us. It's a gift from God. You fellowship together with God's people. I'm talking to the choir. Thank you for being here. This is one way that you follow him. You serve Jesus by serving others. That's another way to follow him. So, following the light needs to be active and ongoing. That's how you maintain the light of life in your life. Jesus is the light of the world. Okay, let's look at you are the light of the world. And just 2 points under this one. You are the light of the world as you reflect Jesus in and through your life. So, you being the light of the world is not like, it's not like your light. It's Jesus' light in you and through you, okay? So let me I have another picture here. When our kids were little, for one of them, this isn't their actual bedroom. I just went online and found a picture like this. But we bought these, like, stars and planets, and they're like these little rubber plastic things that you put on the wall or on the ceiling. Anybody ever seen those? Do those with your kids? Yeah. And in order to get them to light up, what do you got to do? You have to expose them to light. And so sometimes we would take even a flashlight and, you know, kind of shine it on them or turn on the bedroom light, because if what happens is once you shine the light on them, they light up. But the longer you don't have light on them, the duller and the dimmer they become. See, they're dependent on another source of light in order for them to have light. And it's the same thing when we look at ourselves as the light of the world. We are only really reflecting the light of Jesus. But as you follow Jesus, you do have the light of life. Okay, John chapter 8, verse 12, the second part again. This is like the same verse in every point. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So if you're following Jesus, you will have that light that you will emanate. You'll have the light of life. Jesus didn't just say that he was the light of the world. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, familiar to many of you. Jesus said, you are the light of the world, as he's talking and teaching. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So, as we remember the great I Ams, I want you also to remember the great you are. Okay? Jesus said seven I Ams in the Gospel of John, but in the Gospel of Matthew, he also said, you are. And he said, you are the light of the world. It was a declaration of the Son of God to his followers that we are God's light. And Jesus said, be careful not to put a bowl over your light. In other words, there's a way to dull your light or dim your light or darken your light. And I think we do that sometimes if we're not careful. Through the words that we speak around others, we can dull our light. Through the actions that we have, through the attitudes that we have, we can dull our light. Here's one of the biggest light dullers, okay? And that is what I call compartmentalization. That's when you compartmentalize your faith to just when you're in church or with other people of faith. And then that's when you become a person of faith. And so you come to church as one person and you leave church as a different person. Can I tell you what? That will destroy your testimony if you want people to understand that you're a follower of Christ. So let's not put bowls over our light. The cool thing is, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. You yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Here's what Paul is saying. You might be the only Bible that other people ever read. Your life might be the only Bible that other people ever read. And the cool thing is God wants to help you by the Spirit of the living God, right? This is the neat thing. When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the birthday of the church, remember they were praying in the upper room and the Spirit came and there was a manifestation of the Spirit. There was a great wind that came into the room. Remember that? You know what one of the manifestations was? Tongues of fire. So we got the light of God represented in the Holy Spirit as fire. And then Peter walks out of that room and boldly preaches the gospel. And 3,000 people become followers of Jesus that day. So God wants to help you be the light through the fire of the Holy Spirit of God. You become that gospel letter that other people can read. Your life becomes that. God will give you the Spirit if you ask for it. Luke chapter 11, Jesus said, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You're the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Here's the last point. As you stick out in positive ways, the world around you is drawn to Jesus. Okay? This is something I think that is under attack for Christians, disciples of Christ. I think there's an attack that is trying to get us to believe that the gospel is uninteresting, that it's dry, that it's dull, that people aren't interested in making a commitment to Christ anymore. I don't think that's true. I think that's just a lie to discourage us. I think the truth is that as we follow Christ, we are his light, and that light is the characteristics of light. It's illuminating. It draws attention in positive ways. I think that's the same thing that Jesus' light in us and through us does today. that God is still, the gospel is still magnetic. It's still compelling. The Holy Spirit is at work in people's minds. And it enlightens them and draws them in. So let's not swallow or believe a lie that, you know, the gospel light in us is somehow dull or dim. As we follow Christ, His light can and does and will shine through us. We need to engage our faith to believe that your light impacts and influences your life so that others around you will be drawn to your light. When you look like Jesus, when you think like Jesus, when you act like Jesus, when you develop Christ-like qualities and characteristics in your life, people are drawn. It's magnetic. It's compelling. Look at what it says in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3. Let these words encourage you and kind of sink in to your mind and down into your heart. Listen to what Isaiah says. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you and His glory appears over you. Look at verse 3. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. That's you as you follow Jesus and you allow His light to penetrate your heart and your life, shine in you and shine through you to others around you. I pray this encourages you, that it bolsters your confidence. Let's bring it into the New Testament. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. Paul said, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life." Folks, that's a description of you following Jesus. That's a description of you allowing the light of Jesus to penetrate your heart, your mind, and transform your life. And then you become His light to a world that desperately needs the light of the Lord right now. This is the time for us to shine for Jesus. And we can. And God wants to help you. And you've got every resource you need to succeed. Trust in Him. Engage your faith. If you don't feel it, don't go by your feelings. Go by your faith. God, you want to use me. You want to fill me with your light. You want your light to shine through me. And it attracts other people to the message of the gospel, because the gospel in itself is powerful. Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So the message itself has power. Be encouraged today. As the worship team comes back, I have one more picture I want to show you, put up on the screen here. I've showed this before. This is one of my favorite illustrations of being light in dark places. What you're seeing here is kind of an illustration of what Robert Louis Stevenson observed in his life when he was a little child. Robert Louis Stevenson was a novelist born in 1850. And as a child, he was fascinated by the lamplighters that would come down the street. And they were gas lamps. And so every night, the lamplighter would have to go up and start the lamp on fire for the streetlights. And there's a story that's told about one day, Robert, when he was just 6 years old, he had his nose pressed against his bedroom window, which looked out onto the street, and his nanny happened to be in his room, and he said, "Hey, look, nanny, there's a man punching holes in the darkness." I love that picture. Punching holes in the darkness. Can we trust Jesus enough And engage our faith to believe that He is the light of the world, and then believe that He wants us to be the light of the world, and that He wants to use us? I mean, I'm humbled by the fact that God might want to use me, but there isn't one person in this room that, if you'll make yourself available, that God wouldn't use you to punch holes in the darkness. Day in and day out, as you live your life for Jesus, you are a light for Him. Will you stand with me? And we're going to sing a song, and I would like someone to come into the prayer corner, because you might be here this evening and you might need prayer. If you're listening online, you can request prayer by going to our website. We have a request prayer button on there. If you need prayer, don't leave here without getting some encouragement that way. But let's sing this song, Christ Be Magnified in Me. And would you sing it kind of as a prayer? That Christ would be magnified in you, that you'd allow his light in so that you can be a light for him. Jesus, that is the cry of our heart, that you would be magnified in our lives. God, we ask right now that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you would fill us with your light. Jesus, we embrace the truth that you are the light of the world. And we ask you now to fill us with your light so that we can be the light of the world. Thank you, Jesus, in the promise of John 8:12, that you said that when we follow you, we have the light of life. Will you help us be good followers day by day, choice by choice, moment by moment? Help us to walk in step with you. Then we will have your light, Jesus. Sharpen it, brighten it, even tonight as we look to you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go forth and punch some holes in the darkness. Have a good week.